signs of baptism. It's an old teaching. We thought it before. Two kinds of baptism. What we are doing is to point our attention to the knowledge that is found in Christ. Now, if you're new to our teachings or to the church, chances are high that you would find something perplexing and disturbing. But you find them questionable. And that's totally fine. Hallelujah. That's totally fine. The faith of Christ accepts questions. Any teaching you can question is a teaching you should even believe. Nobody should coerce you into believing something. Is that clear? I've never done that. All right. 2 Timothy chapter 2. All right. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. We were there last week. Again, we are looking at two kinds of baptism. Or like an old friend of mine, we say in Ibadan, baptism. Whenever I say it, we've corrected him so much that we don't even correct him again. So when he just says baptism, we're like, okay, no problem. So two kinds of baptism. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15. Trust me, we have Bibles. It says, study to show yourself approved of God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rather than dividing the word of truth. We said, it won't be to show yourself approved to God. That's why you see that even in my quote in it, I said approved of God, right? But if you look at the Bible, it might say approved to God. But that would be wrong. You can listen to our teaching. I'm not saying the Bible is wrong. I'm saying, let me just quickly say this, that the originals was written in Greek. That makes sense. So some people translated it. And when you're translating languages, there can be quite a lot of omissions. That makes sense? That means you can omit some things and you actually can add some things that is your own, based on your own nuance and ideology. That makes sense? Alright, so it will be approved of God unto man, because the person you are showing yourself to, the word show is to exhibit, to showcase, as it were. So you are showing yourself to man, because the background of that statement when it says study to show yourself approved was actually that some people are saying some wonderful revelations in the church. You know, I saw one today on the pastor's wall, in Pastor Adeboale, and he said, someone said, Jesus is not the narrow way or the wide way, that is the highway. And people are ailing him or something. I think prophets was, I didn't get time to read it, but I know people can hail that. I said, he's the highway, so I go through the highway. It's something like that. Like you are the gentleman on the highway. Sailor. Hallelujah. And people can say, it's not the highway, it's the highway. Highway. I'm pressing on the upward way. You know, you just find some things to just suit your doctrine and just make yourself acceptable and say, now I get it. But you really did not get anything. Hallelujah. How did I get here? And so there can be false doctrine. So Paul is saying, amidst false doctrine, this will be your response. He now tells Timothy, you study. Now that word study does not mean you research. Because oftentimes or not, people make the mistake of saying, like I said on Sunday, study the Bible for yourself. Go and know God for yourself. There are less statements that can be misleading than that. It's quite a very, very delicate thing to say. You get someone say that and say, go to a Bible believing church. I mean, he just got saved. You think he knows a Bible believing church? Is there a church that says we are not Bible believing? Even the church of Satan has a Bible. Hallelujah. And so you can't just tell a new convert, go to the Bible believing church. I'm very sure on your outreach, if you're a member of the Glorious House Church, you must have met people on the outreach which you got saved. And then you tell them, you come to church and they tell you, I have my church. How about that? Come on. Have you, that's happened to you before. I just got you saved. Well, you claim you have your church. Why were you not saved? You say, I have a building. Say, Lord. Hallelujah. You should have been saved. How can you be in church for 2 weeks and you're for one Sunday? And so, Paul is telling Timothy that amidst false doctrine, you study. That word study means to be diligent. It's not research. It's not that you now start finding out. I've said this before. I taught a particular series in 2014. Actually, like, on demons and casting out demons and all, and pneumatology generally. And a particular brother, he wanted to study in court to show himself approved. Well, you are there. You remember the case. And when he started to show himself approved, and he started Googling about demons and all and all and all, till he started seeing things. He ended up in the psychiatric ward then, have you? Ifo. He ended up in the psychiatric ward in Lutz. I mean, they had to lock him up. When he was okay, I told him, I'm not the one that taught you this one. Every other person did not see anything. Your curiosity led you astray. Curiosity oftentimes marks himself as spiritual growth. But it is not. There's an healthy way to know. Sometimes, some folks just want to know everything. If I follow this pastor, and follow this one, and follow this one, and follow this one, they will end up following you. Curiosity does not make you grow. You sit down and learn the word. Sometimes it can take a year, sometimes it can take 3 years to actually know the Bible. So for someone like me, it's taking me forever. I'm still learning. It's not emergency. It's not something you learn in 5 months. It's not something you learn in 5 weeks. It's not something you learn in a tape. Someone listened to me. They listened to a tape on GHC Media and reached out through our mail. And he said, it is wrong. You are wrong on so. He's not a Nigerian. And I replied, I said, how many of the tapes have you listened to on this subject? And guess what? Guess what they listened to? That is from Proverbs series 3, chapter 2. You must have a syndrome. You listen to someone series 3, chapter 2. You let go of over 17 tracks. And you want to listen to probably the 18th. I don't know. Have you? Probably the 18th teaching on a particular teaching that is not even concluded, and you are concluding. That shows you are not even intelligent in the natural. You don't pick your physics textbook and say, I'm just going to read page 332, line 2. You're going to fail. You're going to fail in flying colors. Hallelujah. So, the response amidst false doctrine is not research. It's actually to sit down and learn. And so, many are taking that word study out of its context. It actually means being diligent. It's the word spodazo in the Greek. S-P-O-U-D-A-Z-O. S-P-O-U-D-A-Z-O. Let's look at that word. Spodazo. You will see Paul used the same word in 2 Timothy 4. That word study. 2 Timothy 4, verse 9. Do your diligence to come shortly unto me. That word diligence. So, it's not, someone said, can you do your research to come shortly unto me? No. Do your diligence. Of course, it was close to the end of his ministry, and he said he was feeling cold, that nobody with him. Then he's now telling Timothy, be fast, come to me. Is that what he said? You can't say, do your research to come to me. It's actually, be fast, make haste, be eager. And so when he says study to show yourself approved, it's actually the word eager. Let's look at another reference of the word spodazo. You find it in, verse 21, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 21. Do your diligence to come before winter. Do your diligence. The word diligence there is the word study. The word spodazo. Titus 3. Titus chapter 3, verse 12. When I shall send Atimas unto you, or Tychius, be diligent to come to me to Nicopolis, for I am determined there to winter. Be diligent. And so spodazo is to make an intense effort. So, Paul is telling Timothy, make an intense effort to show yourself approved. So, a response in false doctrine. Sometimes, someone says, go call me now, right? Go call me. Like, I'm not concerned. Me, I shall know the truth. Sometimes, listen very well to this. There's a thin line between minding your business and an apathetic attitude. Apathetic means I don't care, right? Someone comes to you and is saying, someone comes to you and he starts to brag about how that a Christian who is not wealthy in the natural, probably who is not rich materially, is not full of faith, And I've heard that over and over again. They tell you that if you are walking in faith enough, you will not lack. If you are walking in faith enough. And it's bragging. Now, there will be a thin line between me not knowing how to respond to him, and me knowing how to respond to him, and what to say, and just saying, I don't care. Well, I don't believe what you believe. That is a very wrong Christian attitude. The scriptures teaches contending for the faith. That when someone teaches wrongly, it has stopped being about him. The moment you quote the Bible, listen very well. The moment you quote the Bible, it has become our matter. Don't say, can't I say what I want? Say what you want without the Bible in it. The moment you now say, how can you say a Christian who doesn't have money is not walking in faith? What did Jesus have? They don't say, my own Jesus. You see, idolatry. Your own Jesus. He said, my own Jesus, he was so rich. He was so rich that his robe, they were fighting for his robe. We've seen that before, right? Was he the owner of that robe? No. Again, many Christians don't even know. Because you have not even read your Bible. The only thing you want to know is that you are fighting for his robe. You are fighting, no? If I was there, I'm going to fight. It was actually Herod's robe. So, they recognized the king's robe. Who fight for Jesus' robe? Someone could not pay tax. I'm not justifying poverty. I'm not justifying poverty. But I'm saying, your faith in Christ does not make you poor, nor make you rich. There are many reasons why people are poor or rich, and their faith is not one of them. And so, my response in that kind of moment would be to rightly divide the word of truth. So Paul says, you must be eager to do this. When there's false doctrine all around, your response must be to rightly divide. The reason why you are so taught God's word, if you are in a church that teaches God's word, is so that you can contend for the faith. Hallelujah. Imagine every apostle let go of the error and he said, it doesn't concern us. You can publish whatever you want to publish. You are not going to write anything. You are not going to write anything. No! Paul will write to the church in Galatia. And he starts his writing with, if anybody preaches any other thing, let him be accursed. Accursed does not mean cursing. Accursed means let him be separated from you. Let him be put away. That is stern warning. And so, your response amidst false doctrine is not being lackadaisical. It's not being apathetic. It's not being carefree and say, I don't care. Your response is to rightly divide the word of truth. What does rightly divide the word of truth mean? Before charismatic people, you know, there's a way we can rightly divide. Who would pastor that breaks down the word? How can someone be breaking down the word? He breaks down the word. He just says, yeah, none here. He breaks it down. Because you are a baby. I don't like all these churches where they just teach. Buddha. Tell us story. Just tell us that there was a time I was in an Okada. I was a time when I was in a private jet in a business class. Shut up. Which of the apostles told us about their private jet? Okay, they didn't have. Which of them told us stories? I mean, just he wrote a book and it was full of stories, illustration. Parables are not wrong. But that should not be the meal of the church. You see a single parable, the epistle, is likened unto. And so, where we are, your response against false doctrine must be to rightly divide the word of truth. And so, let's look at the word rightly divide. The word rightly divide means to cut something straight. We've seen that word is the word autotomio. O-R-T-H-O-T-O-M-E-O. Autotomio. Now, let me explain that. It shouldn't be complex. Why are we looking at Greek word? Like I explained that earlier, right? Autotomio, it means to cut something out. Have you ever given a tailor? Yeah, tailor. Sorry, she's a student, but she's doing tailor too. I'm advertising. You should pay me. This is more than Google Ads. All right. When someone gives you a cloth, do you just do it and wrap it around the person and say, I've sewn it? What do? You carefully map out. All teachings that the prophets, right? When you say we map out, you carefully map out and cut to fit. Right? Right? And that is how you ought to be diligent to Bible study. What happens the moment you miscut? We'll find another style. Another shock show. You know, you just find that, why is the arm of this one, why is this one short sleeve and this one is long sleeve? And this one is red button, this one is blue button. You know, you are turning to a madman much more. Right? That means, what tailors do is to, they take your measurement, right? Then they now spread the clothes. They start mapping out, right? And they cut through. That is auto to me. It's used for surgeons too. When surgeons, you know, imagine I want to perform surgery on you. And I say, let's say you want to divide a baby through cesarean section. Right? CS. The doctor says, I want to start cutting from the leg. I just feel like cutting from the leg. You know that? Your village people are the doctor. Hallelujah. How can you want to cut from the leg? This is where the stuff is. And so what they do is, they have specific instruments. Yeah, the size of the size of the knife, the size of the, everything. And they carefully cut out so that you don't damage what you want to bring out. That must be your attitude in handling the scriptures. You must be careful. It is when a man is careless that he just says things anyhow. I've been careless before. I've told this story before. I used John 3:16 to teach business. You can't get more devilish than that. I think you are there. No, I told you. And there was a crafty way of all them. You know, I've been reading quite some books. You know these people. Maxwell, you know them. Maxwell, Pelladrotto, and our good motivational speakers. I have nothing against motivational speakers. Hallelujah. But I tell you, that's carelessness. A minister of the gospel ought to be very careful. You must talk like you have an obligation placed over your life to talk right every time. I will say this again. The minister of the gospel must live like a man that an obligation has been placed over his life for him to talk right every time. There must not be a careless word out of your mouth. Because you're going to give account for every syllable. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, just find people teach anyhow. And that's why Paul will say, James will say, don't let all of us be teachers. He says, because teachers will receive greater condemnation, greater judgment, greater scrutiny. Katakrino. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, find people just want to pastor. I know how to talk. I know how to talk. And I have Bible. Come on. Look at me. Deborah, how are you? You know, I know how to talk. I have Bible. There's one place beside our house that is free. What's the next thing? Can you hear me, print flyer? So what's the name of the church? The Word and Miracles / Holy Ghost Center / No Impossibility with God International. That international must be there. International Church Inc. The pastor comes. First Sunday, he doesn't know anything. He has not been trained. There's any pastor. He just comes on and says, ha ha ha. Yeah! He thinks by jumping and by suit. Yes! Yes! Everyone had the jumping. The jumping. He's charismatic. You know, charismatic. Oh, the mad. The jumping. Say after me. I can never be poor. Nigerians, because of the rate of poverty, who will not say it? I can never be poor. I can never be poor. He says, "No, me, you tell them this one. You say 3 times. I can never be poor." Say, now, our Jesus was not poor. He can never be poor. We have preached. Then a member comes and says, "Pastor, I want to know about righteousness." We are righteous, my brother. My brother, we are all righteous. God made us righteous. And so it is. And can you explain the doctrine of holiness? What's that one? How did I get here? I can't even think. A minister will give account for every of his word. Hallelujah. And so your attitude in doctrine must be to be careful. Every explanation is important. And so we are talking about baptism. Two kinds of baptisms. A common mistake we've seen that many people make is to think that when you mention baptism in the Bible, it automatically refers to water. And that is not hard to debunk, because you must have heard of baptism of the Holy Ghost. Right? In Matthew chapter 3 verse 11, John said, we said the last week, John said, I indeed baptize you with water. Matthew 3 11. I indeed baptize you with water. But there's one that comes after me, whose lace of the shoe I cannot unbuckle. He says, he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And so we can see baptism with fire. In Acts 1 5, Jesus quoted the same thing. He says, John indeed baptized with water, but in not many days from now, you will be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Right? Right? And so, baptism cannot automatically mean water. Let me tell you a common rule in Bible interpretation. Listen very well. First, don't assume. Know fully well that no word, no single word, means the same thing throughout the Bible. I said last week, some people assume that when you say Zoe means the love of God. That's wrong. Or the life of God, rather. Even agape does not mean the love of God. Commonly used so, but it doesn't mean the life of God. Agape just means love. We saw that when Jesus said, sinners also love sinners. When he said, in Luke 6, if you do evil to those who do evil to you, of what use is it? He said, but because sinners also lend to sinners. He said, sinners also love. And that word is actually agape. Sinners agape sinners. And so you can't call agape the love of God. It's just love. Praise God. So, there's no single word that runs throughout the scriptures and it means everything. It means the same thing throughout. So the moment you can take that out of your mind, you are on the way to sanity in Bible doctrine. Don't think whenever you see baptism, it means water. For example, in Mark 16, verse 15, we saw that last week, when Jesus said, go into the world and preach. Please turn to Mark 16, 15. Hey. Two kinds of baptism. Mark 16, 15. Go into the world and preach the gospel to preacher. Verse 16 says, if that believe and what? And is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. And many have thought that, he that believes and is immersed into water. But you'll be wrong. Again, you have brought in that common mistake of assuming that a word means the same thing throughout. He that believes and baptized, why not? I've told you, I've said this before, I think, that dictionaries don't tell you the meaning of words. What dictionaries do is to tell you the probable meaning. That is, it can mean this. And that's why most dictionaries now put it in context for you. They now put it for an example. Right? Right? So, a dictionary is telling you what the word can mean. What determines the meaning of a word are the surrounding statements. Hallelujah. What gives a word its true meaning are the things said after it. Okay, if I say, I will find you out. I will find you out. You know, that can mean different things. I can be saying different things at the same time. I will find you out. And I'll say, even if you run away from me, see, there's nothing you can do. Me, I'm committed to you. I will find you out. Now, that's good, right? I will always be on the lookout for you. But then, I call someone on the phone. I said, where's my money? You blocked me on WhatsApp, are you? I'll find you out. I just said the same thing, right? I just said the same thing. I didn't change any word. I will find you out and I will find you out. Now, what determines the finding? The surrounding words. I don't know. That was loose. I'm not very good with that. But you get what I'm saying, right? And so when Jesus said, those who believe and are baptized, you will now need to read on. And that says, those who believe not. He didn't mention baptism again. Those who believe not. And so I will need to look at the emphasis. And so he puts the emphasis on believing. Don't shift the emphasis to your own baptism. He that believes and baptizes the same, he that believes not. So, it's not the person that is not baptized that is not saved. Who is not saved? The one that was not believed. Can we say that? So, what gets a man saved? Believing the gospel. Simple. Is there an addition to that? No. Is there a subtraction from that? No. What saves a man is believing the gospel. And I give it to you for free that there are many people going to churches that are not saved. I pray to God and I will to God. It's my heart desire that the gospel floods Nigeria and Africa at large. You see that we don't have many churchgoers of 20 years still go to hell. If you have parents, you should preach the gospel to them. Is that clear? Is that clear? Let it be clear. Don't assume because someone is, they have given it, deaconess. elderess. Because the person is saying, you go preach. Hallelujah. And so, he that believes and is baptized. So we need to look at the and. It's just the same way Jesus would say, except the man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Then he now goes ahead, and if you read on, you discover that he never mentioned water again. He just kept saying the Spirit. So is the man born of the Spirit. As the wind listed, right? He just kept mentioning the Spirit. Always need the emphatic mention. The emphatic mention explains the hand. Praise God. We looked at it last week that when Jesus, so the emphatic mention in Mark 16 would be believing. That's why I'm not saying, he that believes not is dead. Verse 17, the signs will follow those that believe. It is the signs will follow those that are baptized. The signs will follow those that believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They would speak with other tongues. Again, those are the signs that will follow those who believe. Does that sign look like sign of water baptism? Eh? I've seen people imagine water. I've been baptized with water twice. I've seen people imagine water and they can't run a single miracle. The casting out of demons and laying hands on the sick would be a result of being baptized by the Spirit. Is it making sense? Aha. Thank you, Jesus. And so, you must know the emphatic mention. Again, there's no word that has a blank check. There is no single word that has a blank check. And so, let's look at the word baptism. We look at the word baptism last week, right? And we look at the mentions. We've seen that the New Testament ministry has no symbols. Alright, so we said the New Testament ministry has no symbols. If there's something you can listen to along with this teaching is the teaching New Testament ministry. It's about 13 tracks. We explained sufficiently the New Testament ministry. And you observe that the New Testament ministry, the moment you start putting the Spirit of God in things, in physical elements, you have taken away the tangibility of the Spirit. It's called Spirit because it's for spiritual. In John chapter 4, let's quickly look at John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Jesus was talking to that woman by the well. Name, woman, surname, by the well. John chapter 4. You there now? Now look at verse 11. The woman said unto him, sir, you have nothing to draw. Why did she say that? In verse 10, Jesus said unto her, if you know the gifts of God, and the one who is asking you to give him to drink, that would have asked of him and he would have given you living water. So Jesus is asking her for water. And she said, you are a Jew. Me, I'm from Samaria. We have nothing to give to each other. And Jesus said, if you know the giving of God, you would have asked me to give you living water. And the woman said, living water. I can't see Doro. You know Doro? Let me call it Ifami. Akureyi when you said, you know, do. So he said, I can't see, what's English? He said, I can't find what you're going to use to fetch water out of the well. Because, he said, I will give you living water. Again, Jesus is saying something here, living water. Living water. And so, you must pay attention. Before you start, there's a pastor in Abuja, I'm going to say this very well, who has a pool in his church. And it comes to the pool of Bethsaida. And people are paying 50k to swim. That's too, that's as bad as it can come. And energy premium. Niger premium. Light version, Bethsaida light. Enough is like bottle. 10k. In case you don't want to swim. Oh, the devil is enjoying that kind of place. And he said, now, I don't have an issue with you putting a swimming pool in your church. Many people still do it without calling Bethsaida. But my issue is,
He said God stays in the pool. That the power of God does not stay anywhere in that church except that pool and that water. And so people are going there and they are shouting, "Hey, my business." You are just swimming, gymnastics. Hallelujah. The New Testament ministry has no symbol. When Jesus mentioned living water, you pay attention to what it's about to say. He said, "I will give you living water." Let's go on. Verse 11. "You have nothing to draw and the well is deep. When thou will now, where will you bring the living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well? Or who gave us the well and drank thereof, and his children and his cattle?" Jesus said unto him, "Whoever shall drink out of this water will thirst again. But whosoever shall drink out of the water I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life." The woman said, "Give me this water, that I thirst not, neither do I come here to draw." Of course, she's still on the physical. "I came all the way from the city to fetch. Give me this water. I don't want to fetch again." Alright. And Jesus replied, please pay attention. Jesus said, "Go and call your husband and come here." "Go and call your husband and come here." And she said, "I have no husband." Jesus said, you are set well, for thou hast had five husbands, and in whom you have now is not even your husband truly." What kind of woman is this? The man said unto him, "I perceive you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain." Now listen very well, this is where we are going to. "Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, but you say that Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." Not Jesus said, the Jews say Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Verse 21. Jesus said unto her, "Woman," down with verse 21 to verse 24 together, want to go? "Believe me now, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship not what you know. We know what you worship. For salvation is from the Jews." Change that from your Bible. That salvation is from the Jews. Change that in your Bible. Before it has caused a sect of teaching already. People saying that salvation is of the Jews. That is, no other person can get saved. That's a doctrine on its own. But what is actually there? Salvation is from the Jews. We look at that in our teaching, salvation through faith in Christ. When we said, when we explain the word "of," right? If you say salvation is of the Lord, it doesn't say the Lord is getting saved. It's actually saying that salvation comes from the Lord. When you say the Spirit of God, God is Spirit already. So what you're saying is the Spirit that came from God. There are other spirits. Is that making sense? And so it's better put as from. Is it making sense? And so it says salvation is from the Jews. And what is he saying? That the Savior will come from the Jews, which is the Christ. Alright. For salvation, or the Savior, the Sota, is from the Jews. Verse 23. "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such to worship him. For God is spirit, and they that worship him in spirit and in truth." We explained this before in our teaching New Testament ministry, and then listen to that. Again, worship here does not mean singing. Worship is the word proskuneo. It is whatever you do as an act of reverence to deity. Whatever you do, me preaching now is actually worship. It's an act of worship. Does that make sense? When you pray, it's actually worship. When you preach the gospel on the street, it is called worship. Worship is not something you say, what's the song again? Worship is not the nara nara na reke na reke imade mabe re 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 re. You know, that's not worship. I'm not saying singing is not worship. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying worship is not confined to singing. Worship is what you do with your heart as a response, as a reverential activity to deity. Does that make sense? And so, Jesus says, those who will worship the Father, those who will serve the Lord, those who will pay reverence to God, will do that where? In spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth does not mean, I'm sincere. Mm-mm. In spirit, which is the truth. In spirit, which is the truth. That truth is actually the word reality. Aletheia. A-L-E-T-H-E-I-A. A-L-E-T-H-E-I-A. So when you say, listen very well, this is what I'm saying. Those who worship the Father, they will worship him in spirit. That is, That is the reality of worship. So what Jesus is saying, that the reality of worship would be in the spirit. Should I come again? The reality of worship would be where? In the spirit. That means whatever you are going to use to reverence and honor God will not be physical. It will be in the spirit. Oftentimes, baptism of by water as oftentimes posed that marks itself as reverencing God or identifying with Jesus in his death. That's ridiculous as it can get, because I want to do everything my Savior did. Yeah, indwell our hearts. How about that? Indwell our hearts, stay in our hearts. Go and do everything he did. Can you die for our sins? True. You only did by identification. What he did, he said I did. Can you do it? Go. Hallelujah. He can't do everything Jesus did. Hallelujah. So the reality of worship will be where? In the spirit. So true worshippers are those who actually worship in the spirit. We'll see that much more next week. Look at Mark 7. So we must learn to reason alongside with the word. True worship is about what Jesus has done in the spirit. That is the reality. Mark 7, verse 1. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes came from Judea. And when they saw some of the disciples eat bread with defiled, that is, with unwashing hands, they found fault. And the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they washed their hands. And so, they started washing their hands. They saw Jesus' disciples, they were eating bread, they didn't wash hands. You know, there's some certain level of hunger that you get to. Where's the water? Water. I recall one retreat we went to one time like that. It's been a while. It's been a long time. Teenagers, what's the name of this teenagers meeting? Camp. And I didn't used to take watermelon. And we've been fasting for 24 hours. And I said, food is not ready. That the only thing available now is watermelon. And I saw people eating it. They are not dying. And sincerely, I ate watermelon. Like, I could not take it. That was the day watermelon started getting sweet to me. I was so hungry. I picked two big ones. I just sliced them down. Hey, my friend, I say, you don't take this thing now. Oh God, the heaven will not be ready in 2 hours. I should die. Yeah. You know, I believe that's what happens to disciples. You know, washing hands. Okay. No, I'm sorry. Alright. So, they started eating. Verse 4. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be, which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots and breaking the vessels and of tables. Now look at what they were. The word wash their hands. The word wash them is the same word baptize, actually. And so you can use baptism for cups. We'll see that much more next week. Baptism is used for cups, it's used for dead bodies, it's used for different things. When they said they did not wash their hands, actually in the Greek, is they did not baptize their hands. Because baptizo means to immerse. To immerse. And so, they said, your disciples are not baptizing their hands, as it were. They are not washing their hands. Verse 5. Then the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, why walk not your disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unbaptized hands? He answered and said unto them, well, as Isaiah prophesied of you, hypocrites, as it's written, these people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. What's he just saying? What honors God is where? Eh? Is in the heart. Do you know someone can get baptized 100 times a day? And yet, is a rebel against God. How many of you know that? It's possible. Eh? Don't you do it? Sometimes you are greeting someone. When I was younger, way, way younger. I'm still very young, but way younger. I mean, little, primary school. There was this woman in our layout. I don't like that woman. You call her grandma. But I'll greet her. If you don't greet her, you're in trouble. You won't greet what? If you beat you, like, you say thank you. Thank you. Thank you, man. You're crying. And so, I greet her very well. And she's always saying that I'm the only good child from my compound side. I'm really good child too. I should not join all these ones. I'm the leader of those ones, I say. Those ones I say I should not join. I'm going to fuel their hunger. I'm going to make them not greet her. So, I just get in her. After I get in her, I say, you perish. You know?
Rather than anything. My heart is gripping up beating you. Wicked woman. Why? She used to seize our ball. I think you know this kind of people. She just seize our ball. Actually, she sees it after 1 day, 2 days. Give it to us. The day we took Christmas rice, they are just all different balls. Ah, like that. When you are not Kanu's mother. Different ball. Else, pancake. Wembley. Hallelujah. How did I get here? Okay, so, yes, your heart is far from me. It's possible a man can do things in the physical, and yet his heart is not. We saw the way Peter put it in 1 Peter 3. We'll look at that before we close. When Peter said there are two kinds of baptism. There's one that what? That deals with the filth of the flesh, the deadliness of the body. See, but the second one is in response to the resurrection. So there will be two kinds of baptism. One will deal with the body, one will deal with the heart. Hallelujah. Verse 7. How be it in vain do they what? Worship him. Worship me. That is, Jesus is using worship and his love for songs. Teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you owe the tradition of men as washing of pots and cups and many of such things that you do. Again, Jesus puts the attention on the heart of man. On the heart of man. Colossians 2. So worship is of the heart. Worship is of the heart. Colossians 2. Verse 12. Let's have verse 11. In whom you are circumcised with a circumcision made without ends. And so, I believe in Daniel prophecy is 4. We'll be able to look at this. We'll be able to look at the use of the elements of the law as or in faith in Christ. We'll see the conjunction. See what Paul is saying now. He says, you are circumcised, not the circumcision made with hands. So there will be two kinds of circumcision. Right? There will be two kinds of circumcision. There is one that takes away the foreskin of the flesh, right? And there will be the one that what? That deals with the heart. Let's go on. In putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. So he explains circumcision that what you did, he didn't just take away the foreskin of the flesh. He took away the body of sin. Buried with him. Verse 13. Verse 12 now. Buried with him in baptism. Wherein you are also risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. Is this baptism by water, please? Eh? Whatever baptism is talking about here, where will it work on? Eh? On the earth. It won't be done with ends. He says, you are circumcised, not in circumcision. He's talking about the new creation. The one who has received the Holy Ghost. And he says, you are circumcised. And this circumcision is not that of Abraham. That takes away the foreskin of the flesh. He says, this one, it took away the entire body of sin. And so that means Abraham's circumcision was actually a prefiguring of how Christ, through his death, will take away the body of sin. But when you don't see the word of truth, what you will see is the removing of the foreskin. We were saying the word of truth last week, right? The reality of the word. So the reality of circumcision will actually be forgiveness of sin. The word of truth, as pertaining to circumcision, will be that the body of sin will be taken away. It's more than you just laying down with your child and removing the foreskin. Why did Abraham do that? To show you what Christ would do in his death. Now says, we are buried with him in baptism. That word actually is we are buried with him in his death. So baptism is also used for death. We are buried with him. And we also were raised with him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Christ's death and his offering replaced any carnal ordinance. Christ's death and his offering, just like on Sunday we have been explaining our Holy Communion. Hallelujah. And quite some truth. Our Holy Communion. What is it? The bread, the wine. The moment my attention is on the bread. Because it's important. What is actually called the Passover is primarily what? Eh? What is the Passover primarily? Meat. What kind of meat? Eh? A lamb's meat. Then if you want to go further. Eh? Bitter herbs. If you want to go further, now bring on living bread. In fact, in the original Passover, wine was not mentioned at all. Moses is too crude for him to be giving you wine. Wine was actually later introduced because you can't drink the blood. The reality of the Passover is actually the lamb and his blood. But because they cannot drink the blood, they will now use the wine. When the disciples says, let's go and prepare Passover for you, and they were telling Jesus, what did they do? We saw it on Sunday. They killed the lamb. I would love a church that does that. But as soon Jesus gives us one slate, give us as we put to speak. Put to speak there. Put mouth by side. even angels and demons gather and say, we gather there here. His body, my brother. And I have another body. I love his body. His body has fat. Hallelujah. And so there will be a reality. So every ordinance actually ended with Christ. Remember Jesus' words. The reality of worship will be in the spirit. So the reality of circumcision, the reality of baptism, the reality of the unleavened bread, the reality of the Pentecost is the risen Christ. Praise God. Hallelujah. You must learn to pitch your tent wisely. Again, we are able to trace the origin of water baptism. And who started it? John. It was not even practiced in the Old Testament at all. We mentioned the place where you can probably find it. Leviticus 13 to 15, right? Ezekiel 16, and we explained it. Ezekiel 36, 25 to 27. The originator, the progenitor now, that you call it? The one who started progenitor? The progenitor of water baptism was John. And this John now told you that I am doing this, but the person that is coming, the one that you will believe, what will he do? Say he will not baptize you with water. That's what John said. He will baptize you with the Spirit. And so you now have to pitch your tent with John, who is a prophet, and with Jesus, who is the message of the prophet. You now have to choose whether to be water baptized or to be baptized by the Spirit. What do we call baptism of the Spirit? The new birth. Baptism of the Holy Ghost is not that you are speaking in tongues. Baptism of the Spirit is the new birth. So that will take us back to Mark 16. He that believes and is baptized by the Holy Ghost. So that believing is actually the baptism. We explained that to you last week. He was now immersed. Baptism is used for identification also. And that's why people say, I'm identifying with the Lord's death in him when I put my hand inside water. The way you identify with the Lord's death is by believing the gospel. When you believe the gospel, what you just said is, what Jesus did, I believe and I accept that he did for me. What have I done? I am baptized into the message. In 1 Corinthians 10 verse 2, he said, the children of Israel were baptized into Moses. 1 Corinthians 10 2. It's not like Moses opened his mouth, they were not putting, no. It means they were identified in Moses. They identify with the ministry of Moses. Is it making sense? And so when you say baptism, you must not, your mind must not drift to water immediately. Else, you are treading the path of error already. You must be open-minded to read in context. Praise God. Praise God. And so every kind of ordinance ended with Christ. Look at John's commentary on water. In John chapter 4 verse 10, what we read earlier, he said, living water, he would have given you living water. Water that is life, actually. He would have given you a water that is life. In John 4:13, Jesus answered them, whoever drinks of this water shall thirst again. But the water I shall give, the one who will drink of it will not thirst. So water will now be symbolic of spiritual life. In John 7:38. Learn something. John 7:38. He that believes on me, as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters. John 7:38. And many people have thought that this is tongues. You see, when you're speaking tongues, it's their stirrings. It's stirring. Oh, Lord, the God shall come. And you know that tongue is out of your belly flowing rivers of living water. Oh, there's a stirring in the house. It's something I can see. I know myself. That is doing retreats. There's a stirring. But I can't say out of his belly. He's not your belly now. He's talking about someone. He's not talking about someone. You are not the focus. Now say out of his belly. as the scripture says, of course, you will not find a single scripture that said that thing. But of course, it will not be a summary of many, many words. And so, as the scripture says. So that scripture, you don't find a verse in the New Testament that said it. But it will be an explanation of many verses. Is that making sense? Uh-huh. So, as the scripture says, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Then, John explained in verse 39. That says, this spoke he. Look at the Bible. John 7:39. This spoke he of what? Of the Spirit. Which what? They that believe should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given because was not yet glorified, means he was not yet resurrected. That makes sense? And so he said, out of the shall flow rivers of living water. And that says, he's talking about the giving of the Spirit. And so he uses water again for the Spirit. Is it making sense? Now you see, again, remember Jesus started with it, with water, did he? When he says, a certain man born of water that is of the Spirit. He's not talking about water baptism. He's saying, be born of water and that is of the Spirit. And that's why we later tell Nicodemus that, I've used earthly things. You see, don't understand the Spirit. He was using earthly things to explain the Spirit. The same thing in John 4. I will give you water that is life. Again, he's not saying that he give you water in a bottle, holy water. He's saying the water I will give you, you will not thirst again. That's spiritual life. Then John 7 clearly stated, this spoke he of the Spirit, which they that will believe on him will receive. That means, what happened is that out of his belly flows to us the Spirit. Is it making sense? Out of his belly is talking about out of his resurrection. Belly is used for resurrection. The womb. The womb. Out of his womb will flow the Spirit. Out of his resurrection, when he's raised from the dead, then the Spirit will be given. You understand something? And so, water is consistently used for the Spirit. So when John baptized people with water, again, there will be an end in mind. The end was not for them to keep using water. What was the end? He told them that the person that is coming, the one I pointed to that day, and I said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. He says, what he will do is what? He will baptize you with what? The Holy Ghost. So, because he baptized the Holy Ghost, I am using water now to symbolize the cleansing it will do to your heart. And so, my cleaning of your body is to show you what it will do to your heart. And that is the doctrine of baptism. But when you're a careless Bible student, you stay with the shadow and you forget the reality. Again, by eating bread and wine cannot be the way we remember Jesus every Sunday. He can't be saying, until we see food, we will not remember him. That can be it. Because whatever you eat goes into your belly and comes out in the White House. Into the White House, eventually into the ground. Hallelujah. Food does not defile a man. And food does not edify a man. I'll say it again. Food does not edify a man. And so there will be a reality of the communion table. Hallelujah. The reality of our worship is where? Is where? In the Spirit. In John 15. That's the way John used it. In John 15 verse 3. He said, now you are clean. Through what? Through the word I have spoken to you. So John's baptism will symbolize what? Eh? John's baptism. John, the one you call John the Baptist. His baptism will symbolize what? Eh? Alright. So it will symbolize what will actually happen upon the new birth. Does that make sense? So when a man receives the gospel, he has actually received the baptism. I said that emphatically. The baptism. Is it wrong to be baptized with water? Nothing. I have no issue with what you do with the water in your body. You can go to the stadium for all I care and swim 100 meters. But don't say that those who don't swim what you swim are not saved. Because what saves a man again? Believing the gospel. Is that clear? Alright, so let's really proceed. In Luke 24:49, Jesus said unto them, tarry in Jerusalem, till you be endued with the power from on high. In Acts 1:8, he now told them, you will receive power when the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And of course, the word power is the word utterance. You receive utterance, actually. We are saying that in our teaching, tongues and interpretation. We had that in retreat last year. Because you're ready for this year. Alright. So, again, water. John used water baptism to explain what Jesus would do. Remember, John the Baptist is a forerunner. Right? Right? His ministry was what? Point to the ministry of the Messiah. Right? When they asked him, he said, What are you? Yeah, I'm just a voice in the wilderness, preparing the way for the Lord. That's why there's a Lord to come. He's the one we listen to. John Baptist himself said, John the prophet himself said, he's the Baptist too. He said, there are two John, two kinds of John. He said, I will decrease, he will increase. I will decrease, he will increase. He came to tell him, he said, that's your Jesus that you baptized. He said, he's preaching, we saw him. That's John's disciples. Don't let your disciples go by you. Imagine reporting Jesus to you. John really said, shut up. No man can receive anything except it's given to him from above. From above means from the Father. We've explained that before. And so, again, he used baptism to explain what Jesus would do after his risen from the dead. Acts 2. Let's look at the book of Acts and look at the baptism throughout the book of Acts. Then we can close on that. So we look at baptism throughout the book of Acts. Acts 2. That's the day of Pentecost. Peter preached. So of course, they spoke in tongues. Some people said they are speaking other, we explained that they are not speaking China and Mexican. In case you think they were speaking other people's language. That's as ridiculous as it can sound. Because how can 3,000 people and more hear 120 people? And all the 120 people are speaking their language. How will 120 languages be 3,000 people's language? Okay. In groups. When you start putting your own exegesis inside. In groups. It can be. Of course, Pentecost was a feast of the Jews. Right? That means only Israelites were present. Right? That's what we thinking. And so the audience will be easier. Of course, when Peter will stand up and address them, he said, you met Judea. That's what he said. And so he knew the audience. They were actually Israelites. They were people, they had common language. And so what will happen is that they spoke in tongues and they spoke in their normal language. That would be interpretation of tongues. Does that make sense? So what happened on Pentecost was not United Nations meeting. Actually, people speaking in tongues and interpreting their tongues. Alright, Acts 2. After he preached to them, he said, you know of your father, the patriarch David, who is both dead and buried with us. He said, Poker is with us until this day. He said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit down at your right hand, at my right hand, till I make your enemies your footstool. You know, he mentioned Abraham also. And after that, they were convinced. As they were pricked in their hearts. Verse 37. I said, men and brethren, what can we do? Or what shall we do? Verse 37. Acts 2. Is that it? Verse 38. What did Peter say? Peter, come on, are you not there? Want to go? Peter said unto them, repent and be what? Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive. The question is, what baptism is this? Does water baptism wash away sin? Because he said, you will be baptized for the remission of sin. The other question would not be, the 3,000 people that God says, were they all baptized in water? Yes. No, it could be anyone. It was not stated. But that would be hard for Peter, for the 12. But the real question would be, does water baptism take away sin? If it does, how? You say, by faith. By faith. Faith in what? In water or in Christ? In Christ. So, can I have that faith in Christ without the water? And my sins will be washed? Yes. Okay, so why the water? Did you get what I just said now? He said, the water can take away sin. How? Faith. Faith in what? In Christ. Okay, can I have that faith in Christ directly? Let me just go to the market directly and buy it to myself. And boycott the water and my sins will be forgiven. Yes, right? Abby? Let's be knowing. He said, no, you know, not all Israel are Israel. Hallelujah. And so, he said, repent and be baptized. Was Peter referring to water baptism? I'm not sure about that. I don't think so. In verse 38, we will not be talking about water baptism. Okay? He says, you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. In Acts 4, he preached again. In verse 3, he lay hands on them and put them in unto the next day, for it was evening. Albeit many of them which heard the word believed, and a number of men, about 5,000, were saved, actually. In number. So no mention of baptism here. Yes, people were saved. Right? Right? No mention of baptism, yet people were saved. In chapter 5, verse 14. And believers were more added to the Lord, multitude of both men and women. Of course, in so much that he brought the sick into the street and lay them in their beds and porch, there's at least the shadow of Peter might overshadow them and they will be healed. Of course, no mention of baptism again, yet many believed. Acts 5, verse 42. Verse 42. And daily in the temple in every house, they ceased not to preach and teach Jesus Christ. No mention of baptism. Acts 6, verse 7. And the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and the great company of priests were obedient to the faith. Acts 8, verse 35. Then Moses, this Moses whom they refused, saying, we may be a judge and a ruler. The same God sent to be a ruler and delivered by the hand of the angel, which appeared, Acts 8, 35. I'm reading Acts 7. Sorry about that. Then Philip opened his mouth and began the same scripture to preach to him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What's stopping me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believe with all your heart, you may be. And he answered, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Hallelujah. And so in this instance, there was baptism by water. Hallelujah. But it was not Philip that said, you observe that the initiation of the baptism was by water was not from Philip. Right? Right? It was the angel. Obviously, he had read a whole lot. He was in Isaiah, for crying out loud. And so he knew about the customs, he knew about tradition. So he said, there's water, yes. Can I be baptized? Philip said, come. Have you believed first? Because if you are just swimming and you have not believed, there will be trouble. He said, have you believed? He said, I believe in Jesus Christ that he's the Son of God. He said, go and swim. We have been baptized, of course. He was baptized and Philip left. Oh, you don't know. You know that Philip left. And he commanded the chariot to stand still at verse 38. And they went down both into water, and he baptized them. And when they were come out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord cut away Philip. I don't think he disappeared. I don't think so. Acts 9, verse 18. And immediately there fell from his eyes at the scales, and he received his sight for, and arose and was baptized. Paul himself was baptized. So from what we have read, water baptism took place after people actually believed. In Acts 10 verse 44, in the house of Cornelius, Acts 10 44, while Peter yet spoke the words, the Holy Ghost fell on them that heard the word. These guys have not been baptized yet, but the Holy Ghost fell on them. Acts 10 44, the Holy Ghost fell on them that heard the word, on all of them. Verse 45, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because on the Gentiles was also poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Verse 46, for the heathen speak with other tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water? Peter, that this should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we are. Then he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And then they prayed, day in to tarry certain days. Okay, they were baptized, but of course they were already saved and filled with the Spirit. I have no issue if you are getting baptized with water, but ensure you're already saved and filled with the Spirit. Well, what's the point? You get baptized every morning before you go to work. Acts 11. Can you shout it yourself? Acts 11. Acts 11 verse 15. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. This is Peter reiterating his experience in the house of Cornelius. Verse 16. Then remember I the word of the Lord. Can we read verse 16 together? How that he said what? John indeed baptized with water, but you shall do what? So what did Jesus tell them? Eh? You will be baptized with what? The Holy Ghost. Again, there will be two kinds of baptism. John has his own, which is the water. And Jesus said, Jesus never asked anybody to baptize with water, right? He didn't ask his disciples to baptize with water. Did he get baptized? Yes, we saw it last week. And why he said that, why he told John that it becomes of us to fulfill all righteousness, right? And we look at what all righteousness will be what? The scriptures, the words of the prophets. That is, this is the only way they will know that you're actually the forerunner. So you have to endorse. And we saw how John actually did that when he said, this is the beloved son. Eh? This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Again, that voice did not come from the cloud. That voice came from John's mouth. So when he said the heaven spoke, that's John. Is the heaven. There are times that guy when he said, in Acts 13, we look at that when he said, and the Holy Ghost spoke, separated from me, Paul and Barnabas. And who spoke? The prophets and teachers that were there. The Bible says, being sent off by the Holy Ghost. And it's the elders that lead them and send them out. Exactly. And so, when people function by the Spirit of God, as a charismatic, way of saying it, you can actually say, the Lord told me. It makes sense. it can be believers gathering, four believers, and then someone ministers to you by the Spirit of God, and you can say, the Lord said, right? Even though you didn't hear God's voice, right? But it was a believer who had the Spirit of God. And so, when you say the heaven opened and God said, this is my beloved son. It was John that was saying that. And that was his endorsement of the Messiah. And of course, we look at the other flip, how that Jesus also was the one endorsing John as a prophet. Alright. Acts 13, verse 24. Okay. Acts 13, verse 24. Is that where we are now? And when John has first preached before his coming, the baptism of repentance to all people of Israel. Again, John's baptism was the baptism of repentance. We explained repentance last week as metanoia, right? That is a change of heart. Meta means to change. Metamorphosis. Eh? Meta means to change. Why nous? Nous means knowledge or perception. So, metanoia, metanous will mean to change my perception, to change the way I think about something. And so, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. It was not a baptism of salvation. It was not a baptism of remission of sins. It was not a baptism of the new birth. It was a baptism of for them to change their mind. To change their mind from what? Eh? Or to what? To what Christ would do. And that's why we tell them, he keeps telling them, see, I am not the one. I am not the one. Again, as he's washing their body, I believe John will be telling them that, I'm baptizing you with water now. There's someone coming. That would be their takeaway card. I baptize you with water. As you are going, just remember that there is someone coming. You baptize with the Holy Ghost. Listen to him. Go. And that one comes. You wash. You say, the way I just did this one now, your sins will be washed. But it's upon his resurrection. Is it making sense? So it's a baptism of repentance. Verse 25. As John fulfilled his call, he said, whom think you that I am? I am not he. I am not the one. But behold, there cometh one after me, which shoe of his feet I am not worthy to lose. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham. And whosoever among you feared the Lord, to you is the word of this salvation sent. So baptism will be called salvation. Actually, John's baptism was to point men to the salvation that Christ brings. Verse 47. So hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light to the Gentiles, and thou should be for the salvation of the end of the earth. Verse 48. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad, and they glorified God, and as many as were ordained to eternal life, believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. Again, no baptism, yet men believed. Acts 14:25. And when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. No record that they actually baptized anybody, but they preached the word and men believed. Acts 16:14. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple and of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. And she attended to the things that were spoken of Paul. The Lord opened her heart. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought for saying, if you have judged me to be faithful unto the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Again, she was baptized after she believed. Baptism by water is not salvation. It doesn't save anybody. There is a particular sect that believe that once you just sprinkle water, even on a baby, then it's saved. That is a very wrong doctrine. I'm going to say that emphatically. It's a very wrong doctrine. What saves a man is believing in the gospel. Whatever you do with your body and your water after that time, well, but believe first. The jailer in Acts 16:33. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, straight away. Of course, he had believed earlier on. Acts 18:8. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Remember Crispus? The one Paul talked about? Because we'll come back to this Crispus. Remember? Because Paul now gave a disclaimer later. Okay. But remember Crispus and the Corinthians. Acts 22, verse 16. And so we have seen a myth, Sabi. We have seen a place where people believed and they were not baptized. There is a place where people believed and then they were baptized, right? But one common integral would be what? That they believed, and that was why they were saved, right? We have not seen a place where people were just baptized and it was assumed that they were saved. Acts 22. Verse 16. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Can this be water? Obviously, in the book of Acts, there was a practice of water baptism after people have already believed the gospel. That is all of that. As we continue. So, let's go back to that Crispus issue. As I close. In 1 Corinthians 1. Paul now gave a disclaimer in 1 Corinthians 1. In verse 13. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized what? None of you, but what? Can you know that Crispus now? Acts 18:8. Crispus and Gaius. And the household of Stephanas. That's verse 16. Besides, I don't know whether I baptized anybody, but can we verse 17 together, everybody? For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to what? Preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, let the cross of Christ should be made of non-effect. So the cross of Christ negates or fulfills every physical ordinance. So say, by the time I preach the cross of Christ, in that cross of Christ, you will find the circumcision. In the cross of Christ, you will find the baptism. In the cross of Christ, you will find our holy communion. Hallelujah. In the cross of Christ. The reality of those ordinances will now be seen in the work and the sacrifice of Jesus. Does that make sense? Alright? So, at close we see two kinds of baptism. Again, we've seen actually that men cannot be saved outside what? Faith in Christ, right? We've seen that a new birth can also be called baptism, right? We also seen that people actually got saved without baptism, and there was, of course, a mixed account where people actually got saved and they were baptized after. But what would be the emphasis? Being saved by what? True faith in Christ. All right. 1 Peter 3. Church is where you go and you open Bible. If you go for legal meetings, they will quote the Constitution as many times as they can. Because that's where the authority is. You can't go to the court of law and say, but me, I think that this is where we should do it. All your thinkings must think in the Constitution. Exactly. So as a Christian, your authority to teach, to guide your pattern of life should be the Word of God. We come to church and I start just saying anything. Why are we gathered? You're not gathered in the name. When we come together and we open the Bible and open, it shows we are growing spiritually. 1 Peter 3. So let's see where Peter taught this. That's 21. Let's see about verse 20 to 21. Want to go? We sometimes were disobedient. When once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water. Verse 21. The like figure, whereunto even baptism also does now say, not the putting away of the field of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection. Can you see Peter? He just did a good story. And he points out 2 kinds of baptism. He says, the way God waited in the days of Noah, and 8 souls were saved because they believed the preaching of God. He says, the like figure unto where baptism now saves us. Before you think he's talking about water, he says, not the putting away of the field of the flesh. That is, not bathing. Not the putting away of the field of the flesh. This baptism I'm talking about is an answer. Is a response of a good conscience by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is, this baptism I'm talking about, does not deal with the body. It deals with the heart. The Christian is first baptized when he received the gospel. He is immersed into the Spirit of God. His sins are washed. He is cleansed. That is the first baptism. And that is the real baptism. The moment we now change the focus onto water, what we are saying is that the Christ died for nothing. If water can wash away my sin, why did Jesus die? Because Jesus did not bring water. There was water before he came. And so if water could actually wash away sins, Jesus did not need to die. Hallelujah. But he died, knowing fully well that washing away of the feet of the flesh is nothing. Sinners can get baptized by water. But when a man believes the gospel, he is endorsed by the Spirit of God. That's the real deal. That's the real worship. Because it's in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, whose baptism was water again? John's baptism. Peter says, a figure, antitupos, A-N-T-I-P-T-U-P-O-S, a pattern. It's a pattern. And it's that baptism, like I see, in the times of Noah, it was a pattern. A pattern to show you how those who believe in the Lord will also be saved. Just like you were saved in the days of Noah. Those who will now believe and answer to the resurrection, they will also be preserved. Kept and preserved by the power of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So there are two kinds of baptism. There's the one that deals with the outward. It deals with the flesh. It deals with the dirty on your body. But there's one that the eyes cannot see. It has worked on your eternity. Hallelujah. Praise God. So it appears that we need to explain a whole lot in the book of Acts on why men are baptized. Why would they do it? What's the necessity today? And no, we'll see all of that. Some folks will say, water baptism is an outworking of what you have received. As HSN. You know HSN? That's eye sounding nonsense. Again, everyone John baptized while their sins forgiven. Eh? Everyone John baptized while their sins forgiven. As he was baptizing them, he said, you Pharisees, a generation of vipers, he has baptized them. If I tell the people that you are baptized, then we want you to feed the Lord to come. Generation of vipers, shall come here. Let's watch. They were still sinners. They remained in their sins. Were they purified? No. It's just a bath you had outside your bathroom. The real baptism is what you do as a response to the sacrifice of Jesus. Let's just read together 1 Corinthians 6:11. Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 6:11. Then about verse 10. From verse 9. Read 9 through to 11. Want to go? Okay, wait for you. I want everybody's voice. Want to go? Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 11. And such were some of you. But you are washed, and you are sanctified, and you are justified in the name of our Lord and by the Spirit of God. I am washed. I am washed. I am sanctified. That's the process. He is a man who has believed in the gospel is justified by the Spirit of God. His message and his resurrection justifies us. In Romans chapter 4, verse 25. It is we believe that Christ died for our sins and he was raised for our justification. Romans 4:25. That's what justifies the man, not water. That's what justifies the man. That's it. Such were some of you when you are washed. And if, actually, that word washed is the same word we saw. You are what? Baptized. In Mark 7, I read earlier. You are baptized. Such were some of you. But now you are baptized. And I wasn't talking about water. I'm washed. I'm washed by the Spirit of God. That's the true baptism. Titus 3, verse 5. That's the true baptism. Oh, glory to God. Woo! Titus 3, 5. Can we read that together too? Where to go? I'm waiting for you. Titus chapter 3 verse 5. Want to go? Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he has saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. He said he has washed us. I'm washed. I hear that word. I'm washed. Sins forgiven, justified by his spirit. I'm washed. I'm washed. I'm washed. I'm washed. I'm a new creation. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. I'm washed. One of the realities of Christianity is the forgiveness of sin. It must echo in your mind as soon as the sun rises. You are washed. Sin consciousness has no place here. We are washed by the Spirit. So the Spirit is what does the baptism. Hallelujah. John's baptism was to an end. He himself did not tell you you should continue. He told you there's someone to come. You will hear him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Again, Peter has given us the disclaimer. Paul gave us the disclaimer. Thank God I didn't baptize many of you. Peter said, the baptism we are talking about is not the one that deals with the body. Again, so why did they do this in the book of Acts? We'll see as we go on. But what you keep in mind is that the believer is washed, is forgiven, and is sanctified. Is that your reality? Is that your reality? So just close, let's bless the Lord this evening. Praise his name. He has washed me clean. Sins forgiven.